Caring for loved ones while rewarding, and something that a lot of us do out of love and selflessness and respect for those that we care for, it can be exhausting. And when it comes to children, you know, they say it takes a village. But that's true if you're caring for elderly loved ones as well. You need time to rest and recharge, just like, a job. You need time off in order to perform at your best. And that's why a respite care plan is vital to success in caring for loved ones. The importance of and need for respite care plans is what we discuss today on the Best Kept Secrets of Caregiving.
This is the Best Kept Secrets of Caregiving on the Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry Podcast Center. Whether you're caring for your elderly parents or raising your grandchildren, life can seem overwhelming at times. Join Marsha Lee and the Upper Cumberland Development District as they help you make sense of it all as a caregiver. Resources, advice, and more starts now.
It's the Best Kept Secrets of Caregiving. I'm Marsha Lee with Claire Farless of the Upper Cumberland Development District, and we're discussing respite care plans and how important they are and how to best set them up and how to get everyone who is involved in the care plan or the patient care, if you want to call it that, or the family member care, how to get everyone involved, how to get everyone on the same page, how to make it a productive meeting. And I know one of the points you have on here is to stop talking.
That is the hardest thing for me to do. But yes, that is. Stop talking and just let everyone else throw out their ideas. Listen to them. And, you know, you may not like what one, let's say Aunt Betty says, but what Aunt Betty and Uncle Earl said together makes a wonderful idea. So, you know, just stop talking, listen, and allow also your family to feel like they have a little bit of say in it. You know, it is something good as well. You know, granted, we don't want to turn over full reins, but it's always nice to let them have a little bit.
You might be in charge, but as my dad would say, you can draw more flies with honey than you can with vinegar.
That is true.
if you can keep it peaceful, mm-hmm. and the discussion and everyone open-minded, then I imagine that would encourage offers and options far more easily than no, you don't understand because you're not the one doing it, you mm-hmm. know. I mean, it's true.
And listening to their suggestions, even if it's something you've tried a million times and it doesn't work, you'd be like, you know, I have tried that, but I'll give it another try, you know, and not being defensive. It's all in your mindset, too. And sometimes the bad thing about being a caregiver is sometimes we're not in our right mindset. So at this family meeting, it's also good to let them know, like, hey, guys, if I snap at you, please don't take it personal, because this could be what's going on. So even allowing them to know that right now I'm communicating well, but if you call me up and I'm hateful to you, no, it's not personal, even though it may feel that way. So having those open lines of communication.
And you know, revealing on the front end, you know, I'm going to try to be very open-minded. I'm going to try to be very open for discussion. And if I come off other than that, it's because I'm exhausted and we need this plan because I need the help.
Absolutely.
And that's hard.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to do.
Yeah.
But sometimes it goes beyond that, you know. I mean, having a plan organized, having different options, making sure everybody's on the same page, everybody being flexible, explaining the situation, doing it in a simple way, and then putting it down on an online calendar, mm-hmm. or like we talked before about the email blast, just something so that everybody is aware of what the expectation is from them in this respite plan. And then maybe even planning some time in that specific times, either once a week or once a month, where the caregiver is allowed to get away,
to
get some time. You know, I was joking earlier about the grocery store, and that's a small kind of getaway, get out to do something, but you know, just a time where they can get away. Maybe they want to go to the nursery and buy flowers and plant flower, you know, it's springtime. Maybe that is relaxing to them, mm-hmm. or going to get a pedicure, going to get a man, just something to get away and to get some distance and space from the situation. That has to help you get clarity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we can't, none of us can put that definition of what your respite needs to look like, only you. So once you decide what your respite plan is, you've got everyone in plan, the best thing is to go away. Whether it's like, all right, I've got six of my girlfriends and we're going to the beach.
If you're a very athletic person, it might be going to run a 5K. Yeah. That might be your respite. Exhausting.
Yes.
I'm only running if I'm getting chased. Yeah, but exactly. If that's your thing, that's your thing.
No, I'm just barricading and preparing to fight.
Right.
And then going away and preparing something that's going to be enjoyable for you. And also, when I say go away, that also means mentally, if you can detach,
yes,
you know, letting them know that unless something drastically happens, don't call me. I'll call to check in, say my love and, you know, and all that. But anything else, you handle decisions. She runs out of diapers, you figure out what brand to buy her. You know, those are the small details that you don't need to be caught up with. But
right.
That's the things that you also that you convey during your family meeting.
And that you put down in very explicit detail and instructions. If you are caring for a grandchild mm-hmm. who gets a terrible rash every time you put a pamper on them instead mm-hmm. of a Loves or whatever,
yes.
then put those explicit details. So if the person filling in, uh-huh. you know, on yeah. that shift has to go get them, or if, you know, if it's more than a few days that you're going to be away, if you get the luxury mm-hmm. of taking a weekend to get away,
yeah.
you know, that if there are food sensitivities, if mm-hmm. there are chemical sensitivities, anything like that, it seems like, gosh, that's an awful lot of tiny little details, but I think that it's necessary.
Oh, absolutely. I had one caregiver that I helped do respite for, and she let me know that she wouldn't, her loved one wouldn't drink anything that was cold. So you had to leave it set, either if it was in the refrigerator, you had to leave it sitting out for about an hour, or just, you know, you didn't do that. And most mm-hmm. people around here, you put ice, you know, you get them a cold drink.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so those small details mattered greatly. And even, you know, when we think about also loved ones that are dealing with dementia, knowing what hallucinations they may be or maybe having and what stages they're in. So, you know, if I'm starting to talk to you about my grandfather, Fred, and all I tell you is, you know, Fred came to visit me. Obviously, I probably wouldn't call him Fred, but I might. You need to know a little bit of that. If I'm starting to tell you about Fred, well, who is Fred?
Sure.
You know?
And then it also, especially in cases with elderly folks who are experiencing the onset of dementia, mm-hmm. knowing to expect that mm-hmm. or to what degree to expect it, and then being able to make the decision mm-hmm. as a observer of this activity or behavior, is this something out of the ordinary that could be the symptom of a fever, of an infection, of a, you know, of it, of a stroke, mm-hmm. of any of those other things, knowing what is even abnormal for sometimes abnormal behavior. It would be important.
Oh, yeah. It's like playing a detective. So just imagine you being a respite care detective. You're going in and providing your caregiver with respite, and you're now the detective. You know, what clues does she leave you about her behavior? You know, what foods, those kind of things. Those are all great things to know. But having a respite care plan is just crucial. You know, like I said, you can follow what we've done here through the link, or you can create your own. But the most important thing about a respite care plan is to simply have one.
Absolutely. It's the Best Kept Secrets of Caregiving. I'm Marsha Lee with Claire Farless of the Upper Cumberland Development District, as we're discussing respite care plans. And we've talked about these respite care plans and how important they are, and getting those in place as quickly as you can when you become a caregiver. But maybe before that, and even after that, what are some ways that you can avoid burnout? You know, when maybe you're just in the early stages of trying to navigate and try to put together a respite care plan, what are some ways to really help, you know, what can you tell yourself some things? Can you, can you kind of talk yourself off the ledge, you know?
Well, I think one of the first things is kind of like when we sit down to do a respite care plan, also sitting down and deciding, what is your definition of burnout? For me, my definition of burnout could be completely different than yours. So let's say if I get a month into it and I haven't been able to go to lunch with my friends, that's burnout for me.
Right. You know, but everyone would have probably different mental and physical thresholds.
Yes, absolutely. And so sitting down and defining those, you know, and being able to look for the signs. Well, what will be my sign if I start to notice that I'm withdrawing? You know, am I having burnout or is it depression? You know, being aware of those signs. And then just one of the most important things that you can remind yourself is that what your work has value. What you're doing, you know, you may not be getting paid a dollar for it, but what you're doing has tremendous value that we can't put a price on. So reminding yourself that. And, you know, I sing this to myself a lot, is the Frozen song, Let It Go. You know, when I'm looking at things that I can't control, instead of having the burnout and that frustration of not being able to control it.
And all of that exhausted energy wasted on fretting and worrying and oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's not helping.
No. What, you know, in those situations, the easiest and the hardest thing to do is to put it aside. It can be the easiest thing you can do and it can be the hardest because you've got all that going through your mind. But reminding yourself that you have value, you know, and finding ways to communicate, kind of like we talked about up here with our rescue.
So you're not having to repeat it over and over and over again.
The you know, having a Facebook group page.
Mass text messages, you know, that was how my brothers and sister and I, when my dad was really sick and I was communicating with them updates or even updates with services for my mom.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier for me to add in my phone and send out one message than to take all of the time, because I'm already spending a lot of time doing all of these other things, to call each of them.
Yes, absolutely. Mass text messages are wonderful. Sometimes I send those out, but then I don't send it out as a group message. Everyone gets it individually.
Right, so because that it's not...
You don't get those.
I totally get that.
That causes me burnout right there.
Yes, yes.
I'm getting a massive amount.
Absolutely.
Joining a support group, you know, no, that's another thing you can help with a burnout, because there are tips that you can go. If you're dealing with dementia, the Alzheimer's Tennessee has a great support group. We have, you know, not to plug our own support group, but we have a wonderful support group as well, where we just try to love on our caregivers. But joining those support groups and knowing that you're not the only one dealing with this, because I may not know that it's okay that some days I feel so mad that I just want to shut the door and walk out and never come back. And I'm like, how could I feel that about my own loved one?
Right.
But you can. It's amazing what your mind, and during those frustrations, what your mind can the thoughts that it can accumulate. So just knowing that you're not alone. And then how do I deal with that? If I'm getting frustrated with my loved one to the point where I feel physical anger toward them, then I need to take a time out.
Absolutely.
I need to go outside, take a breath, breathe, and remind myself of what the important thing is, you know, in that. So joining a support group, having people to talk with about that, and it may not even be an in-person. It could be an online support group. Mm-hmm. One of the funny things, I follow the Del Hollow Eagles, and what I have noticed on the side of it is that there's almost like a little support group of people that just talk about their lives in general, and their main common factor is the fact that they watch the Eagles, and that just cracks me up. But I was like, well, that's their own little support group.
Yeah.
So, you know, you may join a support group, and it may not have anything to do with
it. May not look like what you would think of as a support group, but...
Yeah, just be open to it. Be open to that. Getting organized, gosh, you know, I always consider myself an organized mess. I know what pile has what in it.
Same.
But I could do a toe touch when I actually have it where it's supposed to be, and then I can go to it at any moment. That is a blessing. So if you can get yourself organized, and maybe it's not even yourself. Maybe it's like, hey, I've got a good friend named Susie that is the most organized person in the world. I'm going to call on her. Hey, I've got all of this. Help me. What do I do with it? You know, that's a little bit of respite as well there. So getting organized, knowing that you've got the documents, you've got everything in place, it can help with a burnout too. I can think back to college and the times that I was more worried and had more anxieties when the times I wasn't prepared. So the more that you can prepare to be a caregiver, the better. We think it would cause you to have more anxiety, but really it can help you because you can relieve it because you know how to handle it.
Absolutely. And then, you know, I think it's also important in high stress situations and high stress caregiving, you know, situations to make sure that you've got positive people around you because you are the company you keep.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. I mean, and if you're constantly surrounded by pessimism and negative, mm-hmm. then it's infectious.
It is.
Positivity is also infectious.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, keeping those positive people, you know, you shared when your parents were sick, I'm sure you had a support. And I did also. I had a friend that was going through something similar. And I would call her and be like, okay, this is what I'm going through today. And we would sit there and build each other up. Versus, you know, I have another good friend, wonderful person, but like Debbie Downer, oh, that's great until they die.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, okay, I appreciate, I know that came with love.
Yeah.
But keeping that positive relationships are just crucial, anything that you're doing. The give yourself a break. It's kind of like, you know, we actually, in one of my seminars, we've talked about even caregivers taking a break every hour and it just being 5 minutes. Just take you a 5 minute break. I mean, go to the bathroom, go sit on the porch for just 5 minutes.
Walk down the sidewalk and back, yeah. Get us some air, just something to.
Yeah, because everyone can get 5 minutes. You know, I know it may seem like you can't, but you've got to make that effort. And once you start making the effort, it will help you tremendously.
And I think it's also helpful to schedule it. Mm-hmm. That at 11 o'clock,
hey,
I'm going to change your diaper. I'm watching my grandkid. I'm going to change your diaper mm-hmm. at 10:55. I'm laying you down for a nap.
Yep.
And then I'm going to turn on Young and the Restless.
Yes. You know? There you go. And we're going to let you cry until it's over. No, I'm just kidding. No. But yes. Yeah. But having those, and it's okay. You know, even at work, when I first started as a young professional in this field, I didn't know how to set my boundaries. And that's really something as a caregiver to set your boundaries of burnout. Like I'm okay with this, but when I get to here, that's when I have to do something.
Well, and without those boundaries, mm-hmm. you affect not only your mental health, but mm-hmm. your physical health.
Oh, yes. Stress is so horrible on ourselves and what it can do. And that brings us to one of the last points that I have on here is not forgetting to take care of your own health. Keeping your own doctor's appointments. I go every 6 months to the doctor just to make sure that everything's good. And it's amazing what stress will, how it will fluctuate your health.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's the Best Kept Secrets of Caregiving with the Upper Cumberland Development District, Claire Farless. Thank you so much for being with me today. This has been a very great discussion.
Well, thanks for having me. I always love it.
Now, if someone would like more information or to get some help maybe on how to start planning to make a respite care plan, how could they get that information?
Well, I've provided a link that that we can link to this podcast, but also mainly just Google. And I know that's such a simple answer, but really there's a lot of great information out there. Family Care Alliance, AARP has great information. Alzheimer's Tennessee, Alzheimer's Association. Those are great things. And if you're still struggling, give me a call at the Development District. My number is 931-476-4143. And I'd be happy to make an appointment to sit down, talk with you in person, if you prefer a one-on-one. And we'll sit down and make up your respite care plan together if that's what we need to do.
Great, helpful advice. I'm Marsha Lee. This has been the Best Kept Secrets of Caregiving, helping you know what resources are there and connecting you with the people who can help you utilize them.
Thank you for listening to the Best Kept Secrets of Caregiving with Marsha Lee and the Upper Cumberland Development District. Check for new episodes or listen to past episodes on demand in the Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry Podcast Center at newstalk941.com.